Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Today, I'm joined by Bailey Hopp. She is a social media manager, solo traveler, and storyteller who is passionate about mental health, finding purpose, and building community in your 20s. So, Bailey, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Really excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie. I'm so excited to be here and chat with you and talk about the craziness of life and traveling solo and all the fun that goes along with it.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, today we're going to be talking about burnout in marketing, the lessons that Bailey has learned from living abroad and traveling solo, and how she separates her work identity from who she really is. So Bailey, can you tell us a little bit just about who you are, your background, and what you do?
Yeah, so I am a social media manager. I have been in the space for about 7 or 8 years now. So I have a background in journalism and marketing. I studied abroad for all 4 years of college. So I was in London, England, and got to experience some great marketing and journalism classes and internships over there. And it kind of did a foray into the social media world. And I just love technology and being tuned in. I am a community manager at heart. So I think that aspect of social media has really kept me kind of going and in this space for a long time.
So how did you get into social media marketing and what drew you to that path specifically?
So I did an internship for an online magazine when I lived in London, and it was more in the writing and social media space. I kind of originally thought I was going to go down a strictly journalism route. I had visions of actually doing like war reporting, and very, very different from being on kind of the front lines of social media, I guess. So I really kind of grabbed onto just the short form writing for social media. I love the content creation aspect as well. I love influencer marketing. That's been a big passion of mine alongside traditional organic social media. So kind of after that internship, I moved home from the UK, graduated college, and I got a sales and marketing role and tried something out a little bit different than social media. And I was like, I just love the creative aspect of content creation. I love data and analytics too. I think there's a lot that goes with that in terms of social media, and everything's always changing on these platforms and with your strategies. Yeah. I think there's just so much flexibility and creativity that comes with social media if you have that mindset around it. So it's just been so much fun. I've had a lot of experience at marketing agencies. And right now I'm actually working in-house for an IT training company. So it's just been a fun, different pivot and good way to flex my skills. And I've had a lot of fun with it along this journey.
Amazing. Yeah. Social media, I think, is so powerful. Like, it's holding the microphone in a way that you can really amplify your voice. Mm-hmm. But with all that power also comes like the Spider-Man quote, right? Yeah. With great power comes great responsibility.
Definitely.
Have you ever felt intimidated like sharing to really huge audiences?
Yeah, I think that is, especially working at my first kind of big marketing agency. So I actually had a job that started in March 2020 before COVID, like right before COVID started. It was my first remote job, which was just crazy timing. But I was dealing with a few different client accounts. We had some really big followings, and it was definitely a learning time during that role in terms of crisis management, community management, how to escalate things, and really just living and learning when it comes to things that are copywritten or, you know, QAing different posts. So that was a really big positive learning experience. And it definitely, I have such an eye for typos and just how things come across to different audiences, which I think is so valuable. And it gave me a really good way and understanding of how to change my voice and write for different brands through that lens. So it was great experience, but it is definitely still intimidating kind of sending things out, especially big launches and things like that. It involve a lot of stakeholders or, you know, a lot of team members, but that's also the fun of it. It's fun to share something that you've put a lot of work into, and everyone who's been awaiting a big launch or big product release, something like that. So it's a lot of fun. I love it.
Do you ever have to involve legal in the post or like in the major updates?
It's happened before. It's happened kind of retroactively almost. So there's been times where we've featured like celebrities on images or posts, and that can get a little tricky in terms of copyright, like I was saying. But at this point, it's also like, you know, just use your best kind of knowledge and do your due diligence around how images and messaging can be used. And if there's any restrictions, I think it's also, you just have to, that's the nature of sharing anything. It's like thinking through the whole picture and like the whole thing. Is this something that comes across well? Is it insensitive in any way? Can this be interpreted any way? Just thinking critically about content that you're sharing, especially from a brand account, that's so important. Yeah. But yeah, the legal teams, I think it's always good to cover your bases when it comes to social and just try to avoid any big issues. I think it's always good to proof and just, you know, have extra people at least QAing your posts and making sure it all looks good.
Yeah, for sure. When I was at a public company, I just remember like every little post would have to be approved by legal. And yeah, it got kind of crazy. So, but I guess it depends on like the size and scale and who you're involving. But wow, very interesting. Right. I want to talk a little bit about your experience abroad. So you lived in Germany and London, as you've mentioned, for 4 years. Could you share a little bit more about that? And what was it like for you adjusting to those places? And also just like what inspired you to move abroad? Because I think that's unique. Like not everybody feels inclination / is brave enough to live abroad.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for my experiences. So I lived in Germany for 1 year, my junior year of high school back in 2013. So I had taken 1 year of German. A lot of my family is originally from Germany. So I was kind of drawn to that as like the required language to take in school. At least we had that in my high school. It's like, you got to take at least one language. So I was in my first year of German and heard about a exchange student program. It was actually funded by the US government. So they helped, you know, pay for flights and everything and organized all of that for students. So I went through the process and was accepted to go abroad for a year and moved to Germany, lived with a host family. I got to travel around Germany and Italy as well. And it was such a transformative experience. I was 16 years old living abroad. And the drinking age in Germany was 16. So that was another kind of factor that was just so wild and such a different high school experience than a lot of my peers had at home. But it was definitely I think that really kind of was the start of my love of traveling. And it was a really big jump for me. I was very homesick for at least the first 6 months. And they say like to kind of integrate within the community and within the language, you shouldn't go home any time of the year. You should stay like through the holidays and everything. So I stuck it out. And at one point, you know, I started dreaming in German, and English was kind of like the language I didn't use all the time. So it was amazing. A really, really great experience. I think pushing through the homesickness and just being able to immerse myself really helped me grow as my own person, and being separated from my family and friends and everyone that I really knew. It helped just kind of broaden my horizons a lot. And that was actually the first point. My friend and I had done our spring break in London during that year abroad. And I was like, I wonder if I could go to college over here. Like I love Europe. This is so much fun. So fast forward, I went home my senior year of high school. I kind of wrapped everything up. I applied to colleges as we all do. And I was accepted to a US school based in London. So I was able to get a dual UK and a US degree in journalism and marketing. So I moved there. So cool. I was 18 and kind of packed everything up and went back to Europe and was there all 4 years. And I did come home on the summers and everything, but yeah, I really built a life there. And it was, again, such a learning experience. And that's where I got to solo travel for the first time and really just see a lot more of the world that I hadn't been exposed to, and just have that kind of freedom to feel like an adult and kind of come into my own self and what that looks like. So very, very grateful for the experience and glad to be back home now. I think having those experiences when I was younger and having that freedom to kind of just fly the coop, if you will, was amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Such a cool experience. I wanted to ask, was there a reason that you came back? Did you just miss your family? Did you want to like build your life long-term in the States? Or did you think at all about like staying in London or going somewhere else? I don't know. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I definitely thought about, so I was on my student visa. So that covered all four years of living there until I graduated. And then once that visa was up, it was kind of like, you can get a work visa, you can get married to somebody and stay here. There's a few different options, but it is trickier for US citizens to kind of get employed in another country like that when there's not huge demand, especially in a field like marketing and journalism, it's a little bit saturated. Right. So I had kind of come to that point where all of my family was based back here. And I think I wanted to have a home base where I could just kind of travel from and be based here and be part of you know, our holidays and just be around for more family things. So I think that was kind of a chapter in itself. And it was so full of adventures and stories and fun that I was like, I feel good about kind of closing the chapter on this and starting a new one back at home now that I'm a bit older. And I definitely have thought here and there about going somewhere else right after COVID, or when we thought it was the tail end of COVID in 2021, I went to Puerto Rico for 6 weeks. So I've done like little stints here and there going other places. Amazing. But yeah, I'm very, very happy being home and just being close to family. And I still love traveling and doing all of that. So at least it's still out there and just for shorter durations.
Yeah, for sure. But there is something very nice about being near family. And I think especially as we get older and our parents get older, it's just challenging. Like you see them basically once a year-ish. And when you have kids, especially, or like if you have children, it makes it even harder for the grandparents and it becomes complicated. So totally understand. Well, I also want to talk a little bit about your solo travel experience. So we both not only, I also lived abroad, by the way, like I've mentioned this in my previous episodes. My family is very adventurous. My sister also lives in London. Like we're a very international family.
Love it.
And I also traveled solo, but I would love to hear about your solo travel experience. So what inspired it? Where did you go, et cetera?
Yeah. So it was a lot of it happened kind of while I was abroad, because when you're in Europe, like the flights are so inexpensive. It's just like, how could you not? How could you not take a 40, 50 euro flight an hour away and just go for a weekend and do something? So my first solo trip was to Barcelona, and that was, I think, my sophomore year of college. So yeah, I was just like, I'm just going to do like a long weekend, and I booked a hotel and flights, and I just had some things on my itinerary, but I was like, I'm just going to go kind of see how this goes. And it was so much fun. I got like a travel tattoo. So, I got that in Barcelona, like with the language differences, we made it work, but it was so much fun. It was just like what I want to do and what museums I want to visit, which places I want to go try and, you know, eat or get a coffee at, go to the beach. It was so much fun. I think it also made me feel more comfortable in my own skin in terms of like being able to sit at a restaurant just by myself, or, you know, go to a bar and have a beer. I feel like I'm so comfortable now doing things by myself, which is a great, it just feels so nice to not have to hold myself back because somebody else won't come with me somewhere. Like I feel confident to do things by myself. So that was a big learning opportunity. And from there, I was like, I love this. This is so much fun. Like I'm in control of how late I stay up, or, you know, how late I'm out. And from there, I went to Rome for a long solo trip, which was a lot of fun too. And I think just with these cities too, you have to build your schedules and see a lot of things all at once, especially in like a short weekend. So being able to kind of pick and choose those. I think my longest solo trip, this was back in 2017. I went to Israel for 2 weeks and was able to kind of go around. I went to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and saw, you know, some different parts of that country. And it was just really interesting to me. And especially considering kind of the state of the world now, it's wild to look back on that time and kind of, I was just going because it looked so beautiful. And like, I had some friends that live there, and now it's just, it's very interesting to kind of have that to look back on, but very grateful for all of the experiences and just being able to go see these places that I maybe not would have not if I didn't live there. So it's just a journey. Yeah.
By the way, I used to live in Israel for 8 years. I lived in Tel Aviv. Long story. I lived in Tel Aviv. I lived in Spain, like Granada, Spain. And my sister lives in London. Like I said, very international family. I also traveled. So I did a 3-month trip across Asia. Basically, I had like a, I wouldn't say quarter life crisis, but sort of. Like I was just very burned out.
I feel that.
I was in a tough work situation where I was feeling underappreciated. I felt really burned out. And I would it was just like a YOLO moment. It was like, you know what? The world is really heavy right now. This was just after COVID, or like towards the end of the heavy COVID times, 2023. And I was like, you know what? Life is short, YOLO. I don't know if I'm ever going to get this chance again, especially as we get older with like obligations, apartments, kids, marriage, et cetera. I was like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to get this chance again to go have this like life-changing trip. So I did 3 months by myself, 1 month with my ex. So 4 months altogether, 8 countries, all over Southeast Asia primarily.
Amazing.
And yeah, like exactly as you said, the best thing about solo travel is that afterwards, you, first of all, you learn so much about yourself. And second of all, you become so confident and comfortable doing things on your own that you wouldn't have otherwise. So like you said, like I would go to the movies by myself. Yeah. I would go out to dinner by myself.
It's so nice.
I would show up to like a pub crawl and I knew nobody and I didn't care and I didn't feel judged. And now I have these social skills that I can do the same thing back home. I can show up to like a bar and know nobody there and I don't care.
But like, absolutely.
That's
it's
really
so nice.
Yeah. But I feel like I actually had a whole episode about this as well. And my first episode talked about like just a lot of people are really insecure in social situations. Like they have social anxiety. They feel, I don't know, like intimidated or judged to do certain things in a social setting. But after you've traveled solo, you totally remove that barrier because you're like, I could care less what anyone thinks of me. I'm going to show up to this event by myself, know no one, and know that it's fine. And nobody's like, we're all in our own worlds, you know?
Absolutely. And I think especially doing those types of things abroad, it's like you're dealing with not only just being by yourself, but language barriers and having to navigate cultural differences and kind of what that looks like too, and maybe not knowing how certain things go within a specific culture. So I think it just really helps. I highly recommend if anyone listening has not done a solo trip, even like a weekend within your state or, you know, a neighboring state or something,
even
I highly recommend it.
One day.
It's so much fun. And you just, it's like a date with yourself too. It's just so much fun and a great way to just kind of be with yourself and, you know, bring a book along or you know, listen to this podcast and just enjoy the time and kind of wander. I think it's so valuable.
And I think what's also really special about solo travel is that you can do exactly what you want itinerary-wise. So like you said, you know, you're in a city for just one weekend and you have like 10 tourist spots that you want to hit in that weekend. If you were with a friend or a partner or whoever, they might have a different agenda or different itinerary than you would. And when you're solo, you can do the exact plan that you want. Like there's nobody kind of deterring your plans. And that's really special as well.
It is. It makes it's just so nice to do exactly what you want and feel kind of fulfilled in that time that you spent with yourself. And I also love like a shout out to just shopping on solo trips. I feel like I can be so quick in stores and like, it's just going from place to place and being able to kind of, you know, oh, I'm not interested, like move on to the next store. So something like that is really fun too, to just get like souvenirs or, you know, and have that time to just, do what you want. It's so much fun.
No, I agree. Totally. By the way, do you have any tips like for female solo travelers? Because one of the things, the only thing that's a little bit challenging for women in general is like, we always have to be a little bit more conscious just about our safety, our security. Whereas men don't necessarily think in the same way when they're traveling solo. Do you have any tips that you recommend for other female solo travelers?
I think really the one thing, and I was so lucky to travel around Europe and I've never been pickpocketed, knock on wood. I've never had anything major happen.
I think I lost my wallet once, but I lost it. It was my fault.
Right. No pickpocketer, but I think keeping your wits, and it's so simple, but just being aware of your surroundings. If you feel in your gut that something is a little weird, or especially on something like public transportation where there's a lot of people, and just being aware of your surroundings. One thing that my mom has always instilled in me is walking, especially in somewhere new, without headphones on and being able to listen to your surroundings and just observe and know kind of how things are going around you, especially with, you know, car, not just people, but other cars and vehicles, and just being aware of your surroundings, I think is the one thing that I've always used in any situation, but especially with solo travel. And it's kept me level-headed and you know, understanding if something kind of gives me a weird feeling, maybe I'll just, you know, go a different route or get off the train at the next stop, whatever the situation is. But that is one thing that I highly recommend. And just understanding too, that if you are in another country, you know, people operate differently. The way the community is different, and just understanding kind of your place in that and how people are operating around you too. So that's the biggest thing. I think also I share my location with a lot of friends. So if anything happens, they have like Find My Friends on, which is always helpful and fun to see where people are traveling to as well. So highly recommend that. And then depending on the country you're going to, if there's any specific areas to keep an eye out for, kind of avoid too, just based on any crime. I think that's always good to just be safe and know what the locals are saying and where might be a better place to avoid. So those are kind of my big tips.
Those are great ones. I think also like the main thing for me was just at night. I would do things during the day and I always felt fine during the daytime being by myself. But at night, what I would usually do is either like just stay somewhat near to wherever I was staying. So I wouldn't like venture too far by myself at night. Or if I was going somewhere at night that was further away, I would just make sure I was with somebody else. So either like another friend or a group or hopefully just not by myself. I also even made like a list for my family of where all the embassies were, at least for my Asia trip, because I was going, you know, if I was going somewhere maybe more familiar to my family, they wouldn't be as concerned. But when I was traveling across Asia, I sent them like a list of like the phone number of the embassy, the address of the embassy. Yeah, just in case, like, I, God forbid. Yeah, but all great tips. Amazing. So do you have like one main lesson or main takeaway from your solo travels that you'd recommend, or your main lesson from solo traveling?
Yeah, I would definitely just recommend that everyone keeps an open mind when you're traveling to another country and allow yourself to enjoy and understand a different culture and experience different things. I think this can be, I know that even within my family and friends, there's been places I've gone where people are a little bit hesitant or maybe don't understand why I'm going somewhere or why I'm doing something. Yeah. And I think I've always had an open mind that there's just so much of this world to see and so many people to meet and cultures to experience. And I think having that mindset and just going into it and being non-judgmental and trying local cuisines and meeting local people, I think there's so much value in that. And it gives you such a well-rounded view of the world and how different people live. And I think there are so many things that I've learned that I've kind of like picked up into my daily routine and just understanding how different people operate and knowing that, you know, especially as Americans, our way is not always the right way of living. And like, there's definitely things that we can pick up and just absorb from other cultures. So I think that's one thing. It's just like having an open mind and kind of seeing where it takes you.
Yeah, amazing. I agree. Well, let's get into your work experience a little bit. So marketing and especially social media, I also have a marketing background and I've done a little bit of everything when it comes to marketing, but it can definitely be very intense, especially, you know, 24/7 career-wise. What has burnout looked like for you personally? Like, how have you experienced burnout in the past?
I think I harbor a lot of perfectionism. I harbor a lot of anxiety in terms of work and personal life. And I just, it can become a little overwhelming. And I think I'm an only child too. I'm very independent. I love collaborating with people, but I'm also, I can kind of get in my like tunnel vision of things that I want to do within my role or projects that I want to tackle. And sometimes it can get to a point where it just becomes too much. And I've definitely had times where I just wake up, work, go back to sleep. I'm so exhausted. Or, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like a long cry. And I kind of, I think as I'm getting older too, and the more that I've been in this career, I am realizing, and I've heard so many people say it in different jobs, it's like, we're in marketing, we're not brain surgeons. It's going to be okay. Like anything can be fixed. Anything can be supported with other people. And I think I put a lot of pressure on myself early in my career to really prove my value as a team member and my skills and work on developing those skills as well. And I think it's just kind of getting to the point now where I feel so confident in myself. I think part of that is also very much the work environment that you're in and understanding what is not the right environment based on your personality type or how you operate. And I think I was kind of in the wrong type of role for my personality for quite some time. And I think that kind of contributed to feelings of like insecurity and the anxiety, like I was mentioning.
In terms of what though, like what personality wise was not the right fit?
I think just like, especially working in like marketing agencies specifically, there's so many moving parts all at once. I think big organizations can be a lot of people, a lot of teams, a lot of stakeholders. I think I work better in smaller organizations, working on like one or two clients or just in-house. I think I've learned that's kind of where I need to go in terms of really dedicating a lot of my time and energy to one specific thing or one specific client, not spreading myself too thin, I guess, really. But I think also with that experience at marketing agencies, I learned so much in terms of marketing as an industry and how to work with different industries based on our clients. And it was, I loved my experience from that perspective and getting to make so many connections and really learn from leading agencies across the country. So I'm very grateful for that. But for me, I'm like, oof, I think in-house is where I'm at now.
For For sure. Yeah. I mean, they both have their pros and cons.
I feel
like agencies can be fun if you're really creative and you like the fact that like you get to work on a million different campaigns at once. But yeah, in terms of burnout, it can be a lot.
It's a bit much.
Totally get it. Amazing. Well, when you were starting to feel burnout, what helped you recognize that you needed to slow down?
I think just when it came to feeling overwhelmed before I even started my day, like if I kind of thought about my day ahead and I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. How am I going to tackle it all? I feel like this is just too much and I don't know where to start. I feel like unhappy with how my day is going to go. And part of that definitely was my own mind, just kind of putting myself in that headspace. But I think a lot of it also is the work that you're doing. You should feel excited about it and proud and happy and looking forward to what you have to come on your to-do list. So I think that was part of it. Just realizing that work is definitely a part of our life, but it's also so much of our week and so much of our life that I want to be excited about what I'm doing for the most part, not all the time, of course, but for the most part. And if it started to feel like too much, I think I was very hard on myself too. And that's like the biggest thing that I think has helped me kind of going into the more, now that I'm in more of like a mid, I don't know if I would say senior, but like a mid-level kind of role and like having a good amount of years of experience under my belt. I think that was just a learning curve in terms of being like having a career and being an adult in the workspace. It's like you have all of these opportunities, but you don't have to do them all at once. And like, it's okay. You're doing the best that you can. And as long as you do that and do the best you can, it's going to be all right. And not everything needs to be perfect. So that is one thing that I've been kind of learning, and just being flexible with change too is a big one. So I think it's definitely gotten better in terms of burnout. There's still times where I'm like, all right, I can tell that I need a vacation coming up here soon. And I think that's also good to have those breaks and like be at a company that, you know, recommends you take your PTO and really encourages you to do that. I think those mental health breaks, even just like a day off or a mental health day, are amazing and just a great way to decompress. So it's gotten better, but yeah, definitely burnout it's a good lesson in learning your limits and how you can prevent that in the future.
For sure. I think nowadays it's so interesting because everyone keeps talking about AI and how AI is going to take all of our jobs and how, I don't know, we're all going to be redundant. We're all going to like not be needed. But then I also feel like at the same time, like burnout is like higher than it's ever been. I think because a lot of companies are trying to just like squeeze as much out of us as they can. And like they're kind of using AI to like supplement people. But somehow I feel like it's still making us work just as hard. It's just like, okay, AI will like write this post for me. I don't know. It's still just as hard and just as maybe it's because people are doing more work. Like they're expecting more.
Yeah, because of AI support. Yeah,
exactly.
I love it as a tool. I mean, I use AI every day. I think it's helped me with a lot of like just kind of starting creative projects and starting outlines for things and bouncing ideas around research wise. There's a lot of value in it too. I think if you keep AI in mind as a tool to help you do your job well, instead of replace what you are capable of, I think there always needs to be a human touch there. That's how we connect as people. We need to focus on the humanity at our core. And there's so many benefits to AI, but if you use it correctly.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's, I mean, same. I use it, obviously, but I don't know. It's just interesting because, again, like all these, I don't know, I see posts all the time about how, you know, oh, productivity is like higher than it's ever been. And now, you know, one person can do the work of three people with AI and blah, blah, blah. But like people are still somehow really, really burnt out, it seems, because I guess there's just like a lot of mental pressure now with AI. There's pressure to perform. It's an interesting time. Very unprecedented.
It is. It's unprecedented times, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how would you say that you separate yourself from being on all the time in a role that demands constant attention, right? Like with social media, it's nonstop. So how do you kind of turn off your work brain when you can?
I think I'm so lucky to be in a place. I've been at my current job for my newest job just over a month now. So it's kind of still new, but I feel like I am in a place where a lot of my team is separating from work. Like a lot of people are done around like five or six, so like six at the latest. And people, it's encouraged to kind of get offline, go for a walk. And I think that's been something that's been so helpful to me, is knowing that kind of everyone is on the same board as I am in terms of just being able to separate from the workday. And yeah. One thing that I recently got that's been kind of a life changer, and I need to use it even more, honestly, but it's called a brick. And it's a little brick, a magnet that you can put on your fridge, and you can lock your phone and turn off all of your apps and everything. So if you lock your phone, and let's say you go away for a weekend, you cannot unlock your phone or use any apps without tapping it on the brick again. So that's been really nice, to lock all of my social media apps and really decompress after the workday. Obviously, leveraging different tools, like we use Sprout Social in our organization to schedule out content. So something like mm-hmm. that really takes the load off in terms of like thinking about content that needs to go out or whatever the case is. It's already kind of running. So things like that are helping with just automation and efficiency within my role. I think, yeah, again, having people around me that encourage me to take time off and just decompress after the workday. I feel like there's anything social media, obviously there's going to be fires that we have to kind of share on social media or put out or whatever the case is. And that's just the nature of the role. I know at some point, you know, I might have to do something on a weekend if needed, if there's like something urgent to go out. But overall, feeling like you're in a place where everyone is on the same page as you, it's encouraged to kind of have that separation and not feel anxiety about work. I think that's been really such a game changer for me. And I'm one of those social media managers that like does not use my own social media very actively. I just love to like keep up with friends. And it's just, I like to share like travel pictures and that's about it. So I think just knowing that I don't have to do much for myself too, and I'm just kind of like enjoying it and having fun, keeping up with trends and just using it creatively. I think that's been a good mindset change too. And just having time to dedicate to my company social media. And then for my own stuff, I'm like, I'll look at it and kind of, you know, see what's going on here and there, but just kind of keeping it separate has been lovely.
For sure. No, it's so funny because I'm the same. So my current business is primarily with LinkedIn. Like I do a ton of posting on there, but I also, during COVID especially, I actually deleted Instagram for like 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
And now I have the account still. It's still there. I haven't brought myself to delete it. And it's tricky because with this podcast now, I'm trying to promote more on Instagram. Right. But I also don't like for my mental health, it made me really unhappy. Like I think, I don't know, everybody can use it differently and you can find a way, and there is a way to use it where you can amplify your brand and have this impact, but it won't impact your mental health. But for me personally, I found that I would like waste hours on there, just like sucked into random addicting stuff that made me feel bad about myself, made me feel all this FOMO. So it's like ironic because I also worked in social media in the past, using Instagram, using all the platforms. Right. And yet, I don't know, I found myself deleting it personally. Just, it made me feel bad about myself. But yeah, it's all about how you use it and finding a way to be effective, but not let it affect your mental health. Because some of these tools can have like a major, like I think about these youth, you know, the kids now.
Oh,
I'm so happy that we didn't have it as kids.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Growing up with like Instagram when you're 10 years old. Yeah. I don't know. It's
I downloaded TikTok when COVID started along with everyone else. And I was obsessed and would spend hours on there. And it got to the point, it was just last year where I said, I got to delete this app. I cannot do this anymore. So I am on the Reels train now, which is fine. Yeah, I like Instagram. That's my kind of preferred platform. And I'm like, I need to drop at least one app and kind of just separate myself. So that was one that I realized after I would spend, you know, three hours a night just scrolling. And it got to a point where it was like, nope, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I totally feel that. I just,
got it. It's tricky.
Yeah.
It's tricky because even like with TikTok, you can have like a massive influence on that. Like if you really want to go viral, TikTok is like the platform to really do it. But at the same time, for mental health, I don't know. It's tricky. It's double-edged sword.
It is.
Actually, like one of my previous companies, the CISO, like the chief information security officer, he told us, if there's one thing I recommend you do security-wise is don't download TikTok. He said it's like downloading malware to your phone.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a virus to your phone. But it's tricky again because TikTok is huge and you can have millions of impressions on there and like have a huge impact pretty easily. So it's tricky. Yeah. Finding the balance, definitely. Well, I want to talk a little bit about community. I know you have experience with that as well. So living abroad and working in marketing, both of those can be pretty isolating sometimes, especially if you're on the freelancer route with marketing. How have you built community for yourself along the way?
I think that I really, especially during times when I was homesick, I would try and it was the worst time, but really try and force myself to get out with friends and even just kind of go to the movies or get out of the house, do something that gets me out in public and kind of recenters me at where I am and who I'm with. I think that's been a big thing. Seeking out different activities and things that interest me have been really valuable too, and kind of building like an anchor around that and really just focusing on like what kinds of things bring me joy and how do I want to spend my time, and through that meeting other people that like to do the same things as well. I actually have met two of my, so when I moved back to Portland, having lived all these places, I have friends all over the place. So it is kind of tricky, like kind of getting everyone together and having that solid community. But two of my best friends here in Portland, I actually met last year. We met at a speed dating event, and all of the girls kind of like just gravitated towards each other afterwards. And we all went out to dinner and it was so much fun. And I ended up finding two of my best friends from that. And we've kind of seen each other almost every week since then. We do like different local events together. We go bowling, we go on day trips to different places around Oregon. And I think that came back to me just doing something that I wanted to do and go speed dating and try something new and get outside of my comfort zone. And through that, I found two really amazing friends. So your community is kind of what you build and like how you build it, I guess, in terms of just finding those activities and trying new things too, that if you're stuck and you're like, I don't have any hobbies or I don't have anything to do, look on like the Meetup app or look on Facebook events. There's so many different things going on that you could just go check out, or even just going to like a bar. I know there's so many places in Portland that do like trivia nights and stuff like that. So that is just so valuable to focus on what makes you happy and go to those places and kind of see who's there and start making friends that way. And that's been something I've tried to do in Europe and within the States as well.
Amazing. Yeah, I think the same. I actually had a whole episode on this as well. Just a lot of people, again, because our experiences abroad kind of made us more confident and comfortable to do that and show up to these events by ourselves, knowing nobody. But I think exactly as you said, there's so many ways to find community wherever you're based. And there's tons of events. Meetup is huge. There's tons of even like networking events. And I love that you said the dating events, that you've actually made friends from those, because I've had the same experience. I go to things that are like dating or like singles events, and then I end up making like really good female friends from
other people. And I always love like having more single friends, because it's like, oh, let's just like go to this like, you know, fun little mixer type thing. And we've gone to like a singles game night before. It's a lot of fun. So going out and just getting out to doing those events and seeing where other people are, I think that's been, that's what I recommend for anyone else who's like looking to build a community too.
Awesome. Love it. What role does community play in your mental health and your sense of belonging?
I think it plays a big role. Like I said earlier too, with social media, I have a community manager background too. So in terms of like responding to people, I've managed like a 3,000 person Slack community with different marketing professionals and have organized virtual and in-person events. And I think there is so much value, especially after COVID, when we were all just so separated from each other, so glued on our phones, just lonely. I think now that we're really getting back into being in person and going to conferences and networking events, I think there's so much value in connecting with other people, not just around work, but like their values and like understanding how to support one another too. And like I said earlier, I'm an only child, so I've never had that kind of like sibling dynamic, but I think I found so much value in supporting communities and other people, especially, you know, online, allowing people to connect with one another, learn with one another. I think from that, I've learned so much about how to connect with people and just, especially on like LinkedIn, like supporting everyone within my network. And I think there's so much value to authentic connection these days, and especially with like the AI we were talking about, focusing on like humanity and like human values. And I love it. I think that's one aspect of social media that's kind of kept me in this space, is just the opportunity to meet and connect with other people, learn from so many other people that you might not have if we didn't have this technology. I think there's so much value to it. As much as we talk about the negative sides of social media and the internet in general, there's so much value that we wouldn't have had otherwise. Yes,
so true. I agree. I think this word keeps coming up, authenticity, right? Like everyone wants authenticity, rawness, realness, especially with AI, as we've mentioned, where everyone sounds kind of robotic in their posts and everybody's kind of doing the same thing. And the more we can be like flawed and human and connect with our peers and support each other, whether that's digitally or in real life, is crucial nowadays.
Yeah, like, it's so special. And at the end of the day, like, we're all just, this is, I saw this somewhere when it was talking about like the dynamic between like a mother and daughter, and like you realize it's still your mom's first time living life. Like everything like your parents might do wrong or something, like it's still like we're all just humans living life for the first time, and we're all flawed. We all are on our own journeys and have had so many experiences that affect how we respond to things or how we operate. And it's just, humanity, I think there's so much beauty to it. And we really have to hold on to that as more of this technology comes out of the woodworks.
I totally agree. And I think also, like, as we mentioned, we're in kind of just like an unprecedented time, a dark time. There's a lot of like negativity and messed up stuff happening on the internet. But then at the same time, for all that darkness, there's just as much light. Right? Like for all that evil, there's just as much good. And we have to focus on that as well. And sometimes like having that online community or even things like the Growth Tribe really shows us like there are other good people out there. I do have people I can, you know, connect with that feel the same way as me.
Definitely.
And that's huge.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
So if someone is feeling stuck, maybe they're burnt out, maybe they're lonely, maybe they're questioning just their path in their career or in life, what's one piece of advice that you'd share with them?
I would definitely share. I think it's important to reflect with yourself and think at the big picture. What do you want your life to look like? What kind of things would you like to do in your day-to-day that make you happy? And if it's something completely different, that is okay. We're all learning. Like I was saying, it's all kind of our new experiences. I think just we all have one life. And if you're feeling at a point like you just, there's nowhere to go, try something completely new if you have the means and ability to, or figure out a plan to kind of be able to transition to that too. So I went through a layoff last year and I took some time. I was doing freelancing. I didn't get a new full-time job yet. And I love permanent jewelry. It's so random, but I have a lot of permanent bracelets.
Oh, yeah. Those
and
are big now.
It's so much fun. And I said, I'm going to do freelancing this year and start doing like permanent jewelry and do events and be with people in person and have these special moments. And it was so random and something that has been so fulfilling. I still continue to do it. I do a few events every month or so just on the weekends, something that is completely different than what I was doing before and something that kind of gave me like a little bit of a spark to try something new and something creative and something that I was passionate about. So I recommend just like sitting with yourself, thinking about what makes you happy and how you can get to a point where you can kind of transition into a role or at least like a hobby and what that would look like to kind of fill your cup and feel fulfilling.
Amazing. Yeah, so true. I completely agree. I'm on a similar path right now. I was laid off and I'm now on like this totally different path between this podcast, between building my own business through LinkedIn, and then also just like really looking at like who I am at my core, which I think a lot of us get so caught up in the rat race of work, right? Like we just get so caught up in a routine. We get so caught up in like doing what's expected of us. Mm-hmm. And then we never take that time to really sit and reflect on who we really are at our core. Yeah. And what we really want to do. And there's so many ways to make money in this world, like literally, especially with social media.
Yeah, have fun. I mean, so many, I feel like now more than ever, like there's so many different opportunities, even just from working from home too. So there's, no limits. And you just, I think understanding, like you were saying, you can kind of get caught up in just like the rat race and the daily routines and what that looks like. So figure out ways to kind of separate yourself from that and just bring more joy.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, what is one lesson that you have from solo travel that you think applies to everyday life?
I would say probably what my big lesson was earlier, keeping an open mind. I think that is something that I try and take into any new situation, anywhere I am. I really just want to be non-judgmental and like take it for what it is, have the experience that I have. I think that's just such an important value overall too in life, is just being open-minded and understanding that so many people live different lives, like we've been saying too. And at the end of the day, knowing your values and how to be the best version of you and be a good, kind person, I think those are the most important things, no matter the situation or work, personal life. I think you got to be a good person and be open-minded and kind of go from there.
So true. And also kind of the reminder that like our way of doing things is not the only way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can get so much from other people. And I always say, like, I don't know what I don't know. So if there's something that somebody can pass on or kind of wisdom they can impart, I love it. I love feedback. I love learning different things. I love when my friends kind of call me out on stuff. I'm like, okay, yes. Like I hear you. I see you. It's good. We don't know what we don't know. And if we're kind of impacting somebody in a negative way, I love when people share that with me. And it's a good learning experience. Like we're all still growing. We have to have that flexibility to not be set in our ways.
So true. Completely agree. Well, now I want to do just like a fun little rapid fire section. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions and just say rapid fire the first thing that comes to mind. So are you a morning person or a night owl?
Night owl.
Okay. I'm also a night owl, but I try to be a morning person, but I can't.
Me too.
Okay. I think if like kids force you to be a morning person, so yeah. I don't have to do that for now. Or dogs maybe. Okay. What is your favorite country or city that you've traveled to?
Ooh, I would honestly say my favorite city would probably be San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so beautiful, so colorful. Anytime I think back to like the buildings are all so colorful. There's cobblestone. It's so much fun. So much culture.
Love it. Yeah. What's one of the weirdest foods or the most different foods that you tried when you were abroad?
When I was in Paris for the first time, I tried frog legs.
How was it?
I love escargot. I love like escargot, snail. It's so delicious, garlicky. The frog legs were a hard pass for me. And I love food.
Really?
There's not many foods that I dislike, but I tried and I was like, I can't. This is where I draw the line at the French food.
What did you not like about it? Did it taste like chicken? What did it taste like?
Yeah, I think just like the texture and the experience was a little bit like, this is not for me. I think it was more of a textural thing.
Okay, interesting. Did it feel like chewy, slimy?
Yeah, just the chewy and like, I just remember like, you know, the legs and it was just, it was a little bit much.
I tried rabbit in Spain and I think I've had alligator in like New Orleans. They do like fried alligator.
I would try that.
And I had in Cambodia, I had grasshoppers, like fried grasshoppers and snails. The snails, it was just like escargot similar. Yeah. And actually they taste kind of like scallops. And the grasshoppers actually did taste like buggy. Like you tasted like bug texture,
a little
the flavor was actually really nice. Like they flavored them with nice spices, and I don't know. I could see how people could
try anything once.
Okay, nice. Well, what's one country that's still left on your bucket list?
Oh, there's so many. I really would love to make it to do a big trip in Australia. I think there's such a beautiful country. There's so many different sides of it from what I've researched too. And I think I would love to do like a really big, even like a month or 6 week long trip and just kind of go around the country, see all of the different beaches and cities and kind of outback as well. So that's one that I'd love to plan for at some point.
Same. I also want to do India, like a big India trip.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that could be like several months even, just India.
Yeah.
To see. Okay, amazing. What's your favorite emoji to use on social media?
Oh, I love the eyes emoji. I use
the hard
far
eyes?
Too much.
Like or just the eyes?
Oh. Like the eyes looking to the side, like the side eye. I love it.
It's
so relatable. It's so applicable in many different social settings and contexts. It's my go-to. I love it.
I like that one. I also like the grimacing face. Like the...
Yeah.
I use that a lot.
There's so many good ones.
Amazing. And are you pro emoji? Like you're a fan of using emojis in captions?
And that is one thing. I feel like people have been like AI kind of uses emojis in a funny way. So that is something like trying to like as an emoji lover, I'm like, I don't want this to come across like I'm using AI. This is totally just me. So I think using them intentionally and just kind of, trying to make it not look AI-y. I'm like, this is me. I love emoji. Sorry.
Yeah. It's so funny. I literally just had a post about this, like how to tell if it was AI. The M dashes, they've ruined M dashes. Yep. I loved M dashes.
Me too.
And you have to be like careful with your emoji usage now.
Devastating.
What's your go-to ritual for de-stressing?
When it's not summer, I can't take a bath in the summer, but I love like a bubble bath.
Even like a cold bath?
I haven't tried that. I really should have. We had some 90 degree days here. I just love the AC, but
it's like a cold
I love
plunge.
Is like the rest of the year, like a nice bubble bath with like candles and a podcast or something playing. It's so relaxing. It's just so nice. I love like a really warm bath in the dead of winter. That's just, it's perfect.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big bath girly. Also take a lot
so
of baths.
Nice.
Okay. Amazing. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever received?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. I've had so many great bosses and mentors along the way. I think just remembering that I have gotten myself this far and like you are capable of your skills. You have done all of this work that have gotten you to this point. I think that's something that I try and keep in my mind all the time, but especially now at this point in my career. And I've had so many people that I'm very much like a words of affirmation kind of love language person. So hearing that type of feedback and affirmation, I guess, that I am doing a great job, and like just to remember that for myself too, that I've gotten myself to this point. Yeah. I have done great work and I have so much ahead of me too. I think it's just such a great reminder and just something to keep in mind as like a perfectionist and somebody who can kind of get a little stressed about work. But that's one thing that has really helped me and kind of centered me too. When I get to a point where I'm like, I don't know if I'm capable of this. Like, yes, you've gotten this far. You can do great things. So that's probably the big thing. Yeah.
So true. I completely agree. I think we're really hard on ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like we are always putting ourselves down or having imposter syndrome, but we have to remember that we are amazing and we're doing so much.
You know? Yes, absolutely.
Give ourselves pat on the back. Love it. Okay, awesome. Well, Bailey, thank you so much for joining me. This was such a fun conversation. I'm really inspired and I loved everything that we talked about in terms of travel, resilience, finding purpose, burnout, marketing, and beyond. Where can my listeners connect with you and keep up with your journey?
So I am a LinkedIn person, Bailey Hopp. I'm connected with Natalie as well, and I'll be sharing the podcast out, but I love sharing real posts on LinkedIn and highlighting fun projects I'm working on, also sharing travels and fun personal projects I'm doing. So would love to connect with anyone, or if you're looking for any social media advice, or if you're kind of going into the social media marketing space, always around to kind of talk through or brainstorm things and support however I can. Again, love community and building my community. So I appreciate being here and chatting with you, Natalie. And I'm just excited to kind of follow along with your journey and cheer you on.
Yay. Love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Bailey. This is such a pleasure. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. We didn't save the world today, but we had a really interesting conversation about travel, resilience, burnout, and more. If you have any suggestions or anything you want to share in the comments, anything about your journey with work, traveling, or otherwise, I would love to hear it in the comments. And if you love this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend who might need it. Thank you all again for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time, and have a wonderful day.